Thank you, Dwight. Susie and family, that was a blessing. I trust that's all of our hearts this morning. Lord, that my life, my body, may truly be the temple of the Holy Ghost, a sanctuary for you, Lord. Amen. Greet you in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to John, if you would, please. John chapter 15. Let's stand together for the reading of Scripture, if you can. John 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray together. Father, we do come in the worthy name of Jesus. Lord, we want to gather around with your disciples, sitting there next to Jesus, receiving his last words before he goes to the cross. Father, I pray that you would grant us grace today to hear these words fresh and anew to our hearts, Lord. I know there's a temptation to, in our hearts, say, oh, we know that scripture well. We heard that many times. Lord Jesus, I pray you would have mercy upon us and you would open up our hearts. Father, that our ears would hear today what you want to say to us, what the Spirit saith unto your people. Father, I pray you would be merciful to us. Do not pass any of us by here today. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus for the ministration of your Spirit to attend your word and to cause it to stir in our hearts, to speak to us that which you want to speak, Lord. O God, come, Lord. Walk in the midst of this congregation. Lord, convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Father, comforting and encouraging, blessing your people. Father, we trust you for these things. I ask that You would have mercy upon me, Thy servant, and anoint my trembling heart and lips, that we would hear Your voice and not mine. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I felt like the Lord has led me this morning to again continue looking at Jesus' last words to His disciples. Jesus is giving very important instruction and words to His disciples so that by these they may be fed. By these they may be instructed how to live, how to walk. That by these words they may be comforted. By these words they may be illumined and enlightened into the heart of God for the days that lie ahead. And I believe, brothers and sisters, these words are applicable to each one of us here today. These last words were not just for the disciples, but they are for us. We live in a day very similar to theirs, when there was hatred toward Christ and toward His people, and there was a lot of false prophets, and there was deceptions, and there was a lot of tribulation and trial and struggle in the world. And Jesus is giving His disciples vital instruction. Like I shared earlier, as we've looked at these last words, it's like gathering around the aged father as he knows he's going to depart out of this world. And he gathers his family together to give some last words. Do you think anybody is twiddling their thumbs? You think anybody is yawning and sort of slouched back as they hear the last testament of their father? As he gives them a charge before he goes out of this world? I would today that we could somehow sit there with the disciples in that upper room and that our heart's attention and our heart's desire would be stirred within us to latch hold of every word. Just like I believe those disciples did. They were quiet now. They were now listening to the voice of the Master. They were no longer arguing who's going to be the greatest and striving amongst themselves. Jesus had humbled Himself and washed their feet, and they are humbled in His presence, and they are quiet. And they are attentively listening. And they have their ear tuned to their Master's voice. Do you want to hear the voice of your Master today? Let us tune in our hearts. Let us put forth effort to block out the other things, the distractions, all of the things that the enemy would want to come in. And as soon as the Word of God is sown, then cometh the devil and snatches it away before it can bring forth fruit. We have an adversary, the devil, who wants to steal the Word of God out of our hearts. He wants to even put something in your mind now so that you won't listen to this message. So that you'll be distracted and you'll look around and you'll think about what you did in the past days. And you'll think about what you're going to do tomorrow. You'll think about what you're going to do this afternoon. And you can just tune out the preacher. You know, people can do that. But I trust today that as we hear the Word of the Lord and we open up our hearts, that we will, like those two blind men, cry out to Jesus, "O Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Like that woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd. There was a lot of other people in the crowd that day that their needs didn't get met because they did not press into Christ Himself and reach out by faith and touch Him. Today it's very possible that you'll sit here and you have needs in your heart and life. But if you close out the Word and you don't take conscious effort and violently press into the kingdom, you may go away hungry and thirsty and destitute while others have gotten a drink from the Savior. Hallelujah! Let us press in. Open up the ears of our heart. I guess I'm still pretty childish. I learn better when I have some object lessons. Help me to remember the message. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father, He's the husbandman. My Father, He's the vine dresser. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Is there some things in my life that the vine dresser, as He walks into my garden of my heart, and He looks at the vine, He looks at the branches. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. Are there some branches there that the master vine dresser wants to purge out and take His pruning knife or His trimmer and lop that one off because it's selfish, it's carnal, it's a vain ambition, it's prideful, but it hides itself in a cloak of righteousness. The Father is the husbandman. Each one of us is being proved today and yesterday, whether we will love God or no. We are in this world with a free will and given liberty to choose who we will serve, who we will love, whether we will love ourselves or whether we will love Christ. God said to Israel, I've left you here in this land to prove you and to try you to see whether you love God or not. Right in the middle of an idolatrous, wicked people. Does it sound familiar? Is it any different for us today? We live in a world full of carnal pleasures. Full of other things that will come in and choke out the word that it bringeth forth no fruit to perfection. As the vine dresser walks in the midst of the branches today, are there some branches in my life that are not bearing good fruit? And He lovingly and wisely wants to purge that branch and take that pruning shears and cut it off. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I have a lamp here, and I have connected this lamp to an electrical outlet to use this as an illustration. Consider the lamp to be the branch and the power source to be the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we activate the switch on this lamp, it lights. This lamp can bring forth light as long as it is connected to the power source. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know, it's just pretty useless to try to get any light out of that lamp if we disconnected from the power source. Come on, lamp! Work it up! You can do it! You gave me light yesterday, why won't you give me light today? Come on, branch, bear fruit! It is as senseless and silly to try to get light out of this lamp without it plugged in as it is to try to bear fruit for Jesus without being vitally connected to Him. Except ye abide in the vine, ye cannot bear fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Can you just imagine Matthew, Mark, Bartholomew, Thomas, on the edge of their seats as the Master is teaching? Disciples, I am going away. These are my last words. My last testament. The New Testament is about to open in my blood when I die on the cross. Disciples, hear ye, hear ye. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Except a man abide in the vine, he cannot bear fruit. Now we can go on with religious exercise and try to keep it looking good. But I'll tell you, you cannot bear fruit except you abide in the vine. Pretty simple lesson, isn't it? Oh, but if he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Jesus Christ, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. How much can you do, brother, without Jesus Christ? Nothing. Let's all say it together. How much can we do without Jesus Christ? Nothing. That's right, child. Nothing. But you know, sometimes it's so simple, it goes over our heads. And we say, oh, I heard that verse many times. I heard that scripture so many times. I know what you're going to say next, preacher. But hath it entered into your heart and into my heart? Or am I deceiving myself, thinking that as long as I go to church, as long as I keep up my religious exercise, somehow I'm okay. But the vital connection to Jesus Christ is suffering. We may have many doctrines aright. Jesus said, I have somewhat against you. You have a lot of right doctrine, but you've lost your first love. You no longer delight in me. To abide with me. To dwell with me. That's what abide means. To dwell together. To cohabit together. To be in unity and oneness together. Without me, ye can do nothing at all. Oh, but if we abide in Christ and we abide in the vine, connected to the source, we shall bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. We shall bring forth fruit. Oh yes, abundant fruit. Because the life of Christ is flowing from the vine into the branches. I have here some beautiful red grapes. I would almost love to eat one right now. Don't they look so beautiful, so good? You know, that's how the Christian life is. When we are abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in us, and we are bringing forth much fruit. Abundant fruit. Oh, look at that beautiful branch. That beautiful cluster of grapes. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. Abundant fruit. You know, by their fruits ye shall know them. Is the fruit coming out of my life sweet, pleasant, nourishing, abundant, like a river, Jesus said? Or am I like a dried up prune, cut off the vine? And the pitiful fruit that's there is all wrinkled and it's just all shriveled up and you can hardly get an amen out of any anymore, or a praise the Lord, or a rejoicing in souls getting saved, or the Word of God. The Christian's life is marked by fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy, peace, temperance, faith, meekness, patience, kindness, long-suffering. Don't tell me how full you are of the Holy Ghost because you speak in tongues. I want to see your fruit. And I have every authority by the Word of God to ask to examine the fruit. Just because you can babble in tongues does not mean that you are full of the Holy Ghost and of the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. Now, I do not forbid to speak in tongues. The Bible says that. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. I believe there is such a thing according to Scripture that is right in the sight of God and has its rightful place. But I want to say quickly that in our day we've seen so much counterfeit stuff going on and people being deceived because they think, because I can speak in some unknown tongue, I must be full of the Holy Ghost. Now you can be full of the Holy Ghost and the good fruit of the Word of God and speak in tongues. But you can be speaking in tongues and be an empty gong and a tingling cymbal and not have love, like our brother shared this morning. Thank you, Jared. Appreciated that word. Actually, he says, if you can prophesy and speak all manner of mysteries and have not the fruit of the Spirit of love, you are how much? Nothing. Profiteth you nothing. Ah, much fruit. I bless God for the fruit of Christ I see in your life, my brother, my sister. I rejoice. It is such a joy to my heart, such a thrill to my soul to see Christ in you and the fruit of God in your lives. That thrills me. That blesses me. Ah, he that abideth in me, and I in him, that vital relationship, that communion and fellowship, ah, he brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I have now in my hand a withered branch. It's a few little leaves all shriveled up still hanging on it. But there was a day when this branch ceased to abide in the vine. And from that day forth, the flow of sap and life from the vine was cut off. And this branch could no more stay alive. The leaves nice and green. And if it were a fruit tree, it could no more bring forth fruit. But this is not a fruit tree. This just happens to be a maple tree. But it's what I had on hand. And I think it serves the illustration well. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And here's the sad commentary. Cast forth as a branch. Pruned, cut off. Useless branch. Withered, cast forth. After the vine dresser has gone through the orchard and has pruned the vines, he casts the useless branches on the ground, the fruitless branches on the ground. And later he comes along and he gathers them up. He gathers up that useless, withered up branch, and it says they are cast into the fire and they are burned. You know, that big pile of branches out behind the barn, and they're stacked up there waiting for the day of burning. It's awful. But I must preach the Word of God. There will be those who were once abiding in Christ who have allowed other things to come into their life and choke out the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. It was at one time a fruitful branch, bearing forth good fruit. But it becometh unfruitful. And the master, vine dresser, the husbandman comes along, and he opens up his pruning shears, and He cuts off that branch. And that branch is cast to the ground. It is cast to the ground. It is cut off from the life of Christ. Oh, sinner friend today, oh, backslidden, will you not come back to Christ while it is yet today? Men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus said, at the end of the world, He'll send forth His angels to gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. He'll gather out all the tares from the wheat, and they have a similar appearance on the outward. But the Master knows what is tare and what is wheat. And there will be a great separation. And all of those withered up branches, all those fruitless branches are going to be burned. My sinner friend here today, there is a great burning coming. The world shall not again be destroyed with water. God has promised, but it is preserved, awaiting the day when it shall be destroyed by fire. And all those who love not the Lord Jesus Christ and His appearing, all those who obey not the gospel, they are going to be cast into the fire and burned, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Maybe today you're in a place where there's just some little branches that the master vine dresser wants to prune off. But the branch as a whole is mostly sound and good. But there's this one little shoot over here called selfishness. So he takes that one off. He looks at your roots and he digs about it and he dungs it, fertilizes it. There's a branch, pride. There's another one. Oh, here's one. I had hoped this one wouldn't sprout again, but it did. That lying tongue. That backbiting. That evil speaking. You know, maybe today the master vine dresser, he longs to purge your life. Because He wants to bring forth good fruit. But it's also possible here today that, like Isaiah said, someone may be in such a state that the whole head is sick. The whole thing is sick. And the whole branch needs to be cut off. Hear ye, hear ye. He that hath words, ears to hear, let him hear. Abide in Me, and I in you, and ye shall bring forth much fruit. This lamp is just steadily glowing. It's connected to the power source. Are you connected to the power source this morning? Or is your lamp become dim? Is the flow restricted the nutrients can't freely flow into the branch because of sin? Is your lamp getting dim? Oh, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, the Master Vine Dresser, He wants to purge the channel. Take out those things that stop up the channel. Lust of other things, pleasures of this life, cares of this life, riches, lust, covetousness, desire to have. God wants to purge the branch that it may bring forth more fruit, that the channel may open up and the flow from the vine into the branch is unrestricted and we have full connection, full communication, full fellowship, unhindered, no more guilty conscience. But now we have boldness to come before the throne of grace and ask what we need in faith. But you know, if there's sin in your life, it's pretty hard to have a heart full of assurance and faith and ask God for what you need, right? Because you know your iniquities have separated between you and your God. His arm isn't short that it cannot heal or save, but your iniquities are separating between you and your God. And maybe your lamp is very dim. Or maybe it is gone out. Oh, my sinner friend, this morning, Jesus stands ready to save you if you will humble your heart before the Lord and you'll cry out, "Oh God, save me! Backslider, God can heal you today! God said, I will heal their backsliding." But if you will not turn at my reproof, saith the Lord, you'll go on your own way. Ah, but if you will return at my reproof, why will ye die? Why will ye die in your sins when salvation stands and is offered freely to all, to whosoever will? Will you, like Nicodemus, climb up in the tree, say, "I don't care what people say about me, I am going to see Jesus"? Will you, like those blind men, cry out to the Lord even if your friends say, "Be quiet, you're crazy. Stop it, making such a racket. Be decent. You don't have to get all emotional now. Just settle down and go to hell with your sins going with you." No, I would much rather you get earnest today and you cry out like those blind men. Amen. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." What do you need today? Is your life fruitless? Barren? Or is your life full of abundant fruit? And I know we all desire more fruit. So I'm not one. I want you to be careful that I don't put something upon you that isn't in the text. But here's the answer. We want to be fruitful, abide in Christ. And ye shall, it's a promise, ye shall bring forth much fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! He that abideth in me and I in him, where we have that relationship and fellowship, the branch cannot help but bring forth fruit. When the seed is planted in the ground and the rain is coming down and the nutrients are there, you wonder how it grows, how it brings forth fruit. Bible says, "Ye know not how, and while men slept, and then forth cometh the blade, and then the full plant, and then finally the full ear of corn." And you say, "How did that happen?" So it's sort of like it's a mystery. It's not like we have to try to do this thing. Our only our only work is, if I may use the term work, is to abide in Christ. This is the work of God. Amen. That we abide in Christ. That we know Him. That's it. Then the fruit will come. Oh, I trust you along with me are tuning your ear along with Bartholomew, along with Thomas, along with Philip, sitting around that table with Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord. We get it. That's it. That's it. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Jesus' last words. Disciples, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friends. Disciples. Love one another. It's my commandment. It's a commandment with promise. If ye love one another, my Father's going to love you. He will abide with you. We will come and we will make our abode with you. Disciples, love one another. Because many, many, the love of many will wax cold. Be on guard. The enemy of your soul, that old devil, he has nothing in me. The God of this world. He has come to destroy. He sows hate. He's a slanderer. He accuses the brethren falsely. And he will accuse Matthew to Philip. And Thomas to Luke. Remember what I told you. Love one another. Jesus doesn't say it here. But it's in Holy Scripture. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love one another. Jesus' last words in the Gospel of John alone. The word love is given 57 times. Do you think Jesus was trying to get a message across to His disciples? To His followers, to His children, we are His disciples also. Is he conveying to us a message? I don't like to say trying to, because Jesus conveys it very clearly. It's us that have the trying to problem. It's not Jesus, like He can't communicate very well. He communicates very well. But ye have shut up your ears, and ye will not hear. O Jerusalem, how I would gather you as a hen gathers her children, her chicks under her wing, but ye would not. Problem isn't with Jesus, it's with us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you. You're going to see a living demonstration shortly, disciples. But I'll tell it to you ahead of time. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to demonstrate that to you. You're going to see it when I go to the cross. Like as I have loved you, love one another. Disciples, continue ye in my love. they're gathered around that table. Jesus has washed their feet. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now ye continue in my love. Again he says in John 15:17, these things I command you that ye love one another. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. Because this is the hallmark of Christianity. Not whether you can quote the whole book of John. It's good to study the Bible, memorize it. Not that you gave large amounts of money to the poor. Jesus said, remember the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor. Not that you wear modest clothing and have your head veiled. Oh, but it's the inward adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, a person can have modest clothing on and their head veiled and still be rebellious against their husband and against God. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know. Listen, disciples. This is it. This is the hallmark. Right here it is. This is the chief crowning stone. That you belong to me. Because God is love. I have loved you with a perfect love, steadfast unto the end. Now, disciples, as I have loved you, love one another. And by this shall all men know that you belong to me. They shall know that you are my disciples. This word, to love one another, is present, continuous. You just keep on loving one another. And keep on loving one another. And when it gets hard, we keep on loving one another. When it means I need to die, we keep on loving one another. When it means I need to give up my rights, we keep on loving one another. When it means I need to lay down my opinion, we need to keep on loving one another. Lord, help us to agree, the author wrote of a hymn. Help us, Lord, to live in peace. Many times we disagree over what's right or wrong to do. But Lord, help us live in peace and lay down our lives one for another. Don't be too quick to call it compromise. Well, but if I lay down my life, I'm compromising. Maybe God just wants us to die so that people can see that we love one another. It's the crowning hallmark of the Christians. Jesus in His prayer, just listen to Him. Try to catch His heart. Just try to tune in. Say, Lord, open my heart. Listen to Him pray. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me, that this love may be in them, hear the Savior crying to His Father, praying, pouring out His soul. O righteous Father, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, His people. That the love that Thou hast loved me with, that same love, may be in them. Thus the love of Christ constrain my heart from moment by moment. Does the love of Christ move me? Does the love of Christ flow through me? That the love wherewith Christ Jesus has loved me, I can love others. How did He do it? He laid down His life. And I'm asking the Lord to show me continually, Lord, how do You want me to live that out? What do You want me to do in this circumstance? We probably oftener err on the side of standing up for my rights than we do of esteeming the other brother's opinion higher and better. I think I err more on that side rather than to esteem the other brother in love. I confess that's a need in my life. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to so abide with Christ and He with me that His love constrains me. Jesus' last words to His disciples: abide in me. Love one another. And in the middle of it all, John 15:14, Jesus says, ye are my friends. He's been giving him some pretty heavy stuff. Maybe he sees their groaning, they're travailing in heart a bit. And He says to them, ye are my friends. He looks around the table and He looks them in the eye and He says, ye are my friends. But remember, keep my commandments. If you do whatsoever I command you, ye are my friends. I don't call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I made known unto you. You know, friends don't keep secrets, do they? Don't keep secrets from each other. Good friends share their hearts. Jesus is saying, ye are my friends. I have shared my heart with you. All things that the Father has shown me, everything that God has worked in and through me, I have not hid it from you. I have showed you. We have a beautiful friendship. You are my friends. A friend? Yes, a friend. First definition from Strong's is a dear one. Doesn't Apostle Paul and Peter often open up their letters, my dearly beloved, my dear friends, my dear ones. That's a wonderful place to be. Jesus is my friend. I am not afraid of Him. He's my friend. He is not a harsh taskmaster and I'm His slave. He says, I don't call you slaves. Now it's right for us to put our ear to the doorpost and pledge our allegiance to our Master and see ourselves as slaves. But balance that out with a friend. Okay? Because you know the slave, he doesn't know what his master is doing. It's not a very close relationship. The master cracks the whip and the slave jumps. But Jesus is saying, it's not that way with you. Ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. Just like Abraham, he believed God. And he was called the friend of God. Praise the Lord. I'm a child of the King. I'm a friend of God. Jesus is my elder brother. Hallelujah. What a position and standing is mine in Christ. Last words. As they sit around the table, leaning on Jesus' bosom, drinking in every word, because they know He's going away. I think we'll look at one more. John 15. Verse 18. For those who can, let's stand together as we read a few verses. John 15, verse 18. Let's go down to verse 20 and let's read it together. Open up our mouths together. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Disciples, this world is not your friend. This world is hostile toward true Christians who love God. Disciples, this world will hate you because they hated me. They could find no fault in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they hated Him without a cause. If they hated Christ, who was sinless and perfect in love, and I have fault and failure, and if they turn the judging light on me, they can find something to accuse me of? Surely, if they hated Jesus, they will hate me. Our relation to the world. Disciples, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Take consolation, disciples. I have overcome the world. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So he's telling them beforehand, saying, disciples, there's a lot of hard things coming down the road. You're going to be hated, despised. You are going to be rejected. You are going to be persecuted. Time comes that even he that killeth you will think they're doing God service. We can turn the clock back 400 or 500 years. Trial after trial by the Roman Catholic Church, and then later by the Lutherans, condemning men to death. And what was their crime? Because they loved Jesus with all their heart and wanted to follow Him. But the state church said they're heretics. They deserve to die. Away with them. And they burned them at the stake. They drowned them in the river. They tortured them. Cruel mockings and scourgings. But many went violently, even cheerfully to their death, so that the fire of God was burning. And the people that were putting them to death said, the more we kill them, the more they multiply. What shall we do? Up to the early 1600s. Men dared to stand for the Word of God. No compromise. And they were hated and hunted down by the state church. We're fast heading toward a one world church, as it appears, in my estimation. That's not a word of prophecy. It's not a declaration of absolutely thus saith the Lord. But we see handwriting on the wall. That day may be not so far when we shall, like our forefathers, if we dare call them that, God forbid, what have I suffered? Who am I? But that day may be fast approaching when we shall give our lives for our Jesus. And we'll stand with that number. It's revealed in the book of Revelation. There they stand. The souls that gave their lives for Jesus, for the testimony of Jesus. They loved their lives unto the death. And there they stand, awaiting that great culmination of all ages, when Jesus will come back to earth with flaming fire and His angels. Ah! And He'll catch up His bride to be raptured out, taken home with Him. Yeah, a little while longer, it was said to those who were awaiting, saying, oh Lord, how long, faithful and true, till You avenge us of our blood? Ah, there's some others that are going to die yet also. There's some other martyrs who are going to wear martyrs' crowns yet also. Yes, the world will hate you because ye are not of the world. But oh, and I hear Jesus' prayer. I love this. He's there praying His high priestly prayer in John 17, and He says these words, I have given them Thy word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. You see, we are sent into the world, light and salt, a testimony, bringing forth good fruit unto the glory of the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. No, don't go sit up on a hill somewhere. Don't go build a little cabin on a couple acres in the woods and get yourself all alone. Ye are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Now there may come a day that we will flee for hiding. And I don't think that's wrong. Jesus said, they will persecute you in this city. You have the liberty and freedom to go to another. But eventually they're going to catch up with you. And you'll give your life. But you know, it's not the right thing to think that now we're just going to separate ourselves from this wicked world and this contamination by going off somewhere and building a nice little colony and erect some nice little tabernacles and all just gather in there and be protected from the world. You know what will happen? The world will come from within and will strangle out the life. I believe it. I believe it. Jesus said, go into the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel till they cut your head off. And lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. Listen to his prayer. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil and sin and the devil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Hallelujah! We are sent into the world, but we're not of it. Are you not of the world this morning? Does the world have no friendship with you? Do you have no friendship with the world? Are you sanctified unto God, a holy set apart vessel, unto the Lord, separated out of this world? Kept from the evil of this world? Or has the contamination of sin gotten into your heart and into your life, and your light is going out? It's getting dimmer and dimmer because you love the world and the things that are in the world. Don't smile too broadly. Someday you might weep. Hear ye, hear ye. Do you love the world? Or do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? And like Job, ye eschew evil. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, Jesus' prayer. Keep them from evil. Oh God, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I hope you pray that. Lord, sanctify my heart through thy truth, Lord. Lord, thy word is truth. There is no other sanctifying agent but the word of God and the Holy Ghost empowering it in our lives. Can't make enough of rules and regulations to keep a person holy. Amen? You cannot change the man from the outside. It has to come from the inside. Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And the disciples are gathered around the table. Not a word is said. No argument. No talking back. They're on the edge of their seats listening to the Master. And He's giving them a solemn warning. The world will kill you. Friendship to the world is enmity with God. You cannot love the world and love God. Can't do it. Disciples, are you listening? Oh, then a nice word of encouragement. I need that. These things have I spoken unto you, John 16:33. That in me ye might have peace. The world is reeling and rocking. John 16:33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Yes, in the world there's trials, there's distresses, there's persecutions, there is false accusations. But Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, saith the Lord Jesus. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident in your God, in the captain of your salvation. Be certain, undaunted. Because Jesus, the captain of our salvation, has given us a word of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And if that same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit, that same resurrection power, dwelling and abiding in you, and ye also shall overcome the world. And there is a long train and a cloud of witnesses who have overcome the world. Glory, hallelujah! Jesus' last words. We'll stop there for today. Abide in me. Except ye abide in me, and I in you, ye can do nothing. But he that abideth in me, and I in him, connected to the power source, he bringeth forth much fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and he purges it. And when the master vine dresser comes with his pruning, who can stand against him? But some people do. It's too painful. It hurts too much. Protect myself. And then until finally the whole branch has to be cut off. My dear sinner friend here today, where are you with Jesus? Love one another. Faith, hope, charity. The greatest is charity. Love one another, brethren and sisters. You're my friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, how we love thy word. How we love you, Jesus. Father, I pray that today, in your mercy, you would visit us. We want to be fruitful. Lord, it would be the goodness of God that would convict us of our sin, showing us our need, and then showing us our Savior. Father, please don't let us go away from here unchanged. I want to be more conformed into your image. Father, please have your way in the rest of the service. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing God's word. We heard a lot of the word today, didn't we? The word of God. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away till everything that Aaron read to us today is fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled in every one of our lives. I tell my children that often. You will fulfill the word of God, one way or the other. You're either going to prove that the blessings and the good things that God promises and gifts are true, or you're going to prove the judgment of God against sin. There's no escape. Every single one of us is going to prove that. Every word that we heard today is going to be fulfilled, is being fulfilled. You know, it says in, I think it's Thessalonians, Paul blessed them. He said, I want to bless you because you received the word, not as the word of men, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God. If somehow God Himself spoke to us today, physically, in our presence, how would we receive that word? Would we receive it any more so than the fact that His Word is spoken to us today? It's no different, is it? Maybe God has spoken to you today and you have a testimony. This is our testimony time. Time to share how God is working in your life. Or maybe something that can magnify the Word of God that we've heard. Maybe you want to humble yourself today and admit a need that you have. You know, we tend to think that if I let people know who I really am, they're not going to love me. Isn't that right? If people know who I really was, they won't love me. So I'm going to put up this person out here that I think everybody will like. But it's actually the opposite. I remember years ago, these two young fellows were accused of stealing a motorcycle. And they denied that they did it. And I remember praying with the one fellow that the Lord would reveal who the thief was and would bring in, you know, justice. And well, he was the one. And one day they got up in church and they got real. And him and his brother, they confessed what they did to the whole church, that they'd been phonies, that they were thieves. I don't know what they thought. Maybe they were afraid that they'd be rejected. But something, a deep love came out of my heart for those young men when they did that. I love them. There's something lovable about humility. When somebody's real, you just want to hug them. You just want to love them. You just want to receive them. And it's the opposite with fakeness. It's just, you can't relate. You can't quite. Maybe you can't put your finger on it. So maybe somebody here this morning wants to be honest about something. We heard about that in the first message today. Being honest. So this is your chance. Does somebody have a testimony today? Raise your hand. Okay? Right there. One over there. Anybody else? Over here also.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated the messages that it continues to enforce what God has been speaking to my heart in the last few weeks and a need that He's been exposing concerning esteeming the other better than themselves. And I've just been seeing how much I've been critical and seeing needs in my brothers and sisters and not responding in a right way to that, but in more in critical and thinking that I'm better. If you've sensed that from me, I ask for your forgiveness and I trust that the Lord will continue to work in my heart in that way and make me a channel to be able to minister in those areas rather than just be critical. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Reuben. Thank you for being honest and sharing. Yes.
I also just have been praying a lot recently about this matter, especially Wednesday night. God really just clearly showed me that yes, it is the root issue in my heart is pride. And particularly at work, God has dealt with me in that in a major way and showing me how my attitudes towards some of my fellow employees was not right, in where I kind of felt like, you know, I kind of was a little better than them. And I'm just continuing to look to the Lord to trim that branch totally off, to help me, lead me so that I can think right thoughts the way He desires me to esteem others better than myself.
Amen. God give you that desire.
Yes, I also want to thank Jared for the message this morning, and it spoke to my heart. I can very much relate to what he was sharing, and I just ask you to pray for me in that area. And lately, God has really been showing me a lot of self in my life that needs to go, and I just thank him for that. And ask you to pray for me in those areas. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Samuel. All right, was there somebody else?
Yeah.
I just feel that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. For the past 3 weeks, He's been showing me what a deep root of pride is in my soul. And it comes out in my life in just thoughts of self-esteem and be better than others in certain ways. And my desire is to let God prune that branch off me so that I can let my light totally shine. And I would desire some of the sisters to keep me accountable. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Praise God. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have the things that we ask for. Praise God. Let's do our part. Let's ask our sister Hannah how she's doing. In love.
Heard Jared's message this morning about the majestic view from the top of that mountain. I see myself halfway down yet. It's a big mountain of unbelief. But I just want to humble myself and desire that the Lord would prune that, give me faith to believe His word.
Amen. Praise God. So be it.
I hardly know where to begin to explain what the Lord is doing in my heart these days. But a lot of the scriptures that Brother Aaron shared this morning were exactly the ones that God has been bringing to my remembrance. I guess with all the events of the past year or so, with what's going on among us in our different churches and so forth, it's just very, you know, if we're to look at it in the flesh, I realize that it's very easy for me to take sides and have a point of view to defend and so forth. And there were other things too, just personal issues with others. And I realized one day, I thought, Lord, I'm not loving my brothers and sisters the way I need to. I didn't like what was going on in my heart. And I just realized I didn't love people the way that Jesus would. I began to contemplate, what is a Christian anyway? You know, it's a little Christ. It's someone who is a representative of the character of Christ to others. And, you know, the scripture that was brought out, this is how they will know you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. And I was just so disgusted with what was going on in my own heart, and I just brought it to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't love your people the way I should. There has to be victory here. This is not right. And I simply brought it to Him in prayer. And I can't even say where along the way it happened, but He just changed my heart.
Praise God.
You know, I just... there isn't anyone here I hold anything against. I'm not so quick to have a side to defend. I simply want God's will for my life and for our fellowships.
And I know God's not done with me yet. You know, I had this thought, you know, there's so many hurting people. Wouldn't it be a shame if any one person, when thinking of me, could say, well, that's a hypocrite, you know, that's a person I didn't see the love of Christ in. And yet the other side of that is, what if I could be a genuine Christian?
Amen.
You know, what if it could be my testimony that I did know someone who was genuine, you know, that's the cry of my heart. You know, last year at Bible school, the youth sang a song. I believe it was a Negro spirit, old Negro spiritual, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. And I have to say that has been the cry of my heart. I want it to continue to be, because that takes care of everything, you know. If we're Christ-like in our heart, what is there that it will take care of all the other issues. Anyway.
Thank you so much for sharing.
I'm glad to share that.
God bless you. Praise God. Praise God, He's working in our lives.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless y'all this morning. I've been here for a little while. I took a trip back west and this is my family, but also I have not been attending the church here for a couple of weeks now. I really appreciated the messages this morning. I was really blessed and convicted both. I guess the convicted part is that I don't feel like that I've been a faithful member in this church due to the lack of love in my heart for this body. God has been speaking to me in depthly about my needs in my life these past weeks as I've endeavored to truly draw near to Him and just hear His voice and try to find out what God has for me and what God wants for me. And God continually says, Stace, humble your heart. Humble your heart. My unlovableness is just pride. I don't understand it all. I'm not lovable because of pride and just, I guess I really don't care maybe about the things of God enough in relation to His body. I guess what has brought this to light in my own heart is I was deeply offended some time back. I thought I was getting over it. It seemed like it just kept on escalating and bitterness set in my heart. And I didn't want to defile the body because I understand how easy that is, you know, just to get bitter and try to find those who are bitter too and resentful and have a nice little pity party around that. Well, that wasn't my desire. So I just thought I'd just spend this time at home and just really examine my heart. Because really, I don't have any rights. I don't have any rights at all. I have the right to eternal damnation. If I can't see clearly the cost, the price that it cost for my eternal soul, and see what Christ did for me on that cross, the shame that he bore, the cruel mockings and scourgings and ridicules and all those things that came upon him. The truth is, I have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. I have no excuse to get bitter. I have no excuse to get resentful.
Amen.
I confess that that is who I am. I ask for your prayers and your forgiveness, because I don't want bitterness in my heart. God bless y'all in this church.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Brother Dace. We love our Brother Dace, Lord. We're thankful for that testimony, God, and we just pray together with him, Lord, that you would free him, oh God. Free him from bitterness, Lord. Free him from pride, God. Meet his need, Lord. Bring him into the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich and adds no sorrow to it, Lord. God, bless him today. And may this day be a new start and a new beginning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Was there any other?
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the church here for your prayers in the past month or so. As many of you know, I've been on seizure medication, and in the last month I started tapering off, and I've had a couple of seizures since that. And in the last week, I had just been praying that if the Lord would want me to go back on the medication, that I would consider doing that if I'd have to before this last Thursday. And in that span of time, I only had one. And then on Friday, I stopped taking my medication. So I'm not taking any more of the medication, but then I had a seizure on Friday evening. And I guess yesterday I was just kind of discouraged, and just felt like I was almost ready to give up, but I was just so encouraged by Brother Aaron's message, and I just want to thank him for that this morning. And I just like to ask that you just continue praying for me, and I want to keep pressing on.
Amen. Praise God. Let's keep our sister in her prayers. Amen. Is there one more? Okay.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.